I've got a gold nugget I want to share with you. I found it in the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Too many people today are living far below their potential. They have many gifts and talents and so much going for them, but they've gotten comfortable, settled where they are, and lately become too easily satisfied. I often hear people say things such as, "I've achieved as much as most," or, "Compared to other people, I'm doing pretty well in my career. I've gone much further than my parents did." That's great, but God wants you to go further. He's a forward-looking God. No matter where we are in life, God has more in store. He never wants us to quit growing. We should always be reaching for new heights in our spiritual walk, in our careers, in our personal relationships. Many have achieved to a certain level, but there's always new challenges, other mountains to climb. There are new dreams and goals that we can pursue. No doubt, God has already done a lot in your past, but past experiences have a shelf life. God can open more doors for you, doors that no one else can open. He may have caused you to be promoted in the past. That's marvelous. Be careful. Sometimes when we are enjoying life, it's easy to become complacent and think, "Yes, God has been good to me. I can't complain. I've achieved my goals. I've reached my limits." God may have done wonders in the past, but I say again, past experiences have a shelf life. Don't allow your life to become dull. Keep dreaming, hoping, planning for new experiences, new adventures with God. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Yesterday, I spoke on the subject of the resurrection. The resurrection is the heart of Christianity. Without the resurrection, our faith, our preaching is all in vain. We have no hope if there be no resurrection. Now, today, I'm going to be speaking on the subject of faith. We hear a lot of people talking about faith. In the book of Hebrews and in chapter 10, it tells us the just shall live by faith. Also in Hebrews, we find that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It also tells us without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All through the Bible, the word faith is used. In the New Testament, the word faith or faithfulness or faithful is used more than 275 times. Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, "Daughter, thy faith hath made you whole, and be whole of your plague." Jesus also talked about little faith. When Peter attempted to walk out and meet Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, Peter, he was attempting to actually walk on the water. And when he began to sink, Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said, O you of little faith. But Jesus also talks about great faith. When the Phoenician woman came to Jesus, asking him to cure her daughter who was possessed by a spirit, an unclean spirit. You remember the story, the one where it appears that he was speaking to her a little on the coarse side. He spoke of food and dogs, and the lady came back and talked about crumbs from the table. Jesus said, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Faith is discussed a lot in the Bible. Without it, we cannot please God. And with it, we can do all things through God. We know that Peter had a little faith. We know the woman had great faith. The just shall live by faith. But skeptics often attack Christians for living by just this one thing that we call faith. The skeptics would redefine what faith actually is and then tear it apart. Skeptics say faith is the seduction of our emotions, and we attribute to that which cannot stand the test of reason. I take that challenge seriously. I refute that challenge. In fact, the Bible does not see faith as a totally blind leap without any justification. Faith, in the biblical sense, is based on reason and the knowledge that the one in whom that faith is placed has proven that he is worthy of that trust. Time and again, we see how God provides the basis for that belief while calling upon us to trust him, even when things don't go the way we wish. That kind of faith trusts not only in God's power, but also in God's wisdom. God has called us to the proper blend of faith and reason, which everyone lives by, both believer and unbeliever. Therefore, the attack is self-defeating. I'll admit, there are barriers to belief, and they are many. Yet God provides enough reason to have that faith. At the same time, we know we don't live by reason alone. The very fact that I trust my reason is a step of faith. Of the many barriers that keep us from believing, that keep us from having faith in God according to the Scriptures, of the many of these things that hinder us, I believe that there are two. The first is environment. Environment, the place in which you live. Those who have grown up in an environment of anti-God, in an environment of false teaching. When people have been raised and live in an environment of naysayers, doubters, God haters, it affects their faith. It affects their view of God. It affects their overall view of the entire world. Environment plays a role in the believer's believing and also in the sinner's believing. It can hinder both. It can hinder the sinner from coming to God. It can hinder the Christian from living out God's purpose for their life. It can cause the Christian to never realize their dream, their destiny in God. as long as your environment is among the naysayers, the mumblers and the grumblers and the complainers, as long as you continuously keep company with those, you'll always be discouraged, negative. It's difficult to believe in something when all of your thoughts are negative towards it. If you continue in this environment of negativism, eventually you'll lose out with God. You'll lose your faith. You'll lose your joy. You will lose your power with God. And then you'll start blaming God for all of your troubles. When you see people who are always negative, always the pessimist, always sees the bad side of everything, pull away from them. Put them behind you. Find you some new friends. Find you some friends with positive attitudes, with positive thinking habits, and you will find that your life will change for the better. God did not create any of us to be average. He did not make us to barely get by. We were created to excel. The scriptures teaches that before the foundation of the world, God not only chose us, but He chose to equip us with everything we need to live His abundant life. You have the seeds of greatness inside of you, but it's up to you to believe and act on them. I see too many people today going around with low self-esteem, feeling inferior, as if they did not have what it takes. As long as we have that poor self-image, we're not going to experience God's best. You will never rise above the image that you have of yourself. That's why it's so important that we see ourselves as God sees us. Our words are powerful. Words are like seeds. They have creative power. It says in Isaiah that we shall eat the fruits of our words. That's amazing when you stop to consider that truth. Our words tend to produce what we're saying.